Hello and welcome to GCSE Science Essentials. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most important skills you'll need for your EdExcel Combined Science exam, evaluating methods. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Evaluation questions are hard. But here's the thing. Once you understand what examiners are actually looking for, these questions become some of the easiest marks you can pick up. And the best part? This skill appears across all three sciences, biology, chemistry, and physics, so mastering it now will pay dividends across your entire exam. Today, we're going to break down exactly how to critique experimental methods, identify errors, suggest improvements, and most importantly, how to write answers that earn you every single mark available. By the end of this episode, you'll have a clear framework for tackling any evaluation question that comes your way. So grab your notes and let's get started. Let's start with the fundamentals. When you're evaluating a method, you're essentially being asked to be a scientific detective. You need to spot what could go wrong, what might make the data unreliable, and how to fix it. The first thing examiners want you to understand is the difference between validity, accuracy, and precision. These words sound similar, but they mean very different things, and mixing them up will cost you marks. Validity is about whether your experiment actually tests what it's supposed to test. For example, if you're investigating how temperature affects enzyme activity, but you forget to control the pH, your experiment isn't valid because changes in pH could be affecting your results instead of, or as well as temperature. A valid experiment has all control variables properly managed. Now, accuracy is about how close your measurement is to the true value. If the actual temperature is 50 degrees Celsius and your thermometer reads 50 degrees, that's accurate. If it reads 48 degrees, that's less accurate. Precision, on the other hand, is about consistency. If you repeat a measurement 5 times and get 23.1, 23.2, 23.1, 23.2, 23.1, those results are very precise because they're close together. But here's the catch, they could all be wrong. You could have a systematic error that makes them all consistently inaccurate. Think of it like a dartboard. If all your darts land in the same spot but far from the bullseye, you're precise but not accurate. If your darts are scattered all around the bullseye, you're accurate on average, but not precise. What we want is both darts clustered tightly right in the center. Now let's talk about errors. There are two main types you need to know, random errors and systematic errors. Random errors cause unpredictable variations in your measurements. They make your data scatter around the true value. Examples include slight variations in how you read a scale, fluctuations in room temperature, or inconsistent bubble sizes when measuring gas production. The key thing about random errors is that they affect precision. And here's the good news. You can reduce their impact by repeating measurements and calculating a mean. When you average multiple readings, the random variations tend to cancel out. Systematic errors are different. These cause a consistent bias in one direction. Your measurements are all shifted away from the true value by roughly the same amount. Common examples include zero errors on measuring instruments, parallax errors when reading scales, or heat loss to surroundings in calorimetry experiments. Systematic errors affect accuracy, and you can't fix them just by repeating. You need to calibrate your equipment or improve your technique. Here's a crucial point for your exams. Never, ever write human error as an answer. Examiners hate this phrase because it's too vague. Instead, be specific. Say, parallax error when reading the burette, or reaction time error when using a stopwatch. Specific errors get marks, vague statements don't. Right, let's talk exam technique. Evaluation questions often appear as 4-mark or 6-mark questions, and they're testing assessment objective 3, your ability to analyze and evaluate. When you're asked to suggest an improvement to a method, use what I call the change plus reason structure. You need to state what you would change and explain why that change improves the data quality. For example, don't just say, use a digital thermometer. Say, use a digital thermometer instead of an analog one because it has higher resolution, making it easier to read accurately and reducing parallax error. That's the difference between 1 mark and 2 marks. Another common mistake is suggesting repeat the experiment without adding and calculate a mean or to identify anomalies. The examiner wants to know why repeating helps. Remember, repeating reduces the effect of random errors by allowing you to calculate a more reliable average. When evaluating data quality, look at the range and intervals of the independent variable. If a student only tested 3 temperatures, 20, 40, and 60 degrees, you could critique this by saying, the range is too narrow to establish a clear pattern, or the intervals of 20 degrees are too large and might miss important changes in the trend. For questions about equipment choice, focus on resolution and suitability. A gas syringe is better than counting bubbles because bubbles vary in size, making the measurement less accurate. A light gate is better than a stopwatch because it eliminates human reaction, time error. Always link the equipment to the specific error it solves. Okay, let's test what you've learned with some quick-fire questions. Pause after each question if you want to think about your answer. Question 1. What's the difference between repeatable and reproducible? Answer. Repeatable means you get similar results when you repeat it. Reproducible means someone else gets similar results using a different method or different equipment. Question 2. How do you reduce the effect of random errors? Answer. Repeat measurements and calculate a mean. Question 3. How do you reduce the effect of systematic errors? Answer. Calibrate equipment or improve technique repeating doesn't help. Question 4. A student measures 25.3, 25.4, 25.3, 25.4 centimeters, but the true value is 27.0 centimeters. Is this precise, accurate, both, or neither? Answer. Precise, but not accurate. The readings are consistent, but consistently wrong. Question 5. Why is a data logger better than a manual stopwatch for timing? Answer. It eliminates human reaction, time error, making measurements more accurate. Brilliant. Let's wrap up with the key takeaways. First, know your definitions. Validity means testing what you intend to test. Accuracy means closeness to the true value. Precision means consistency of repeated measurements. Second, identify error types correctly. Random errors affect precision and are reduced by repeating and averaging. Systematic errors affect accuracy and need calibration or technique improvements. Third, use the change plus reason structure for improvement questions. State what you change and explain exactly why improves data quality. Fourth, be specific. Never say human error. Always identify the exact type of error, like parallax error or reaction time error. And finally, remember that evaluation skills are worth 60% of the marks in Assessment Objective 3. Master this, and you're setting yourself up for success across all your science exams. Thank you so much for listening to GCSE Science Essentials. Keep practicing those evaluation questions, and remember, you've got this. Good luck with your studies, and I'll see you next time.